Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick, and welcome to Lick.
So today, well, look, I'm a shopaholic, so I'm super, super excited to have Fran Herrera, who's the country head of Klarna, Australia and New Zealand, join us today. So welcome to Lick, Fran.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Excellent. So we actually both have building noises happening outside the house. So please excuse the audio if there's any interruptions by a jackhammer or something. But Nick, you can go first with the first question.
Fran, I'll be completely honest with you. As I mentioned earlier, I hadn't heard of Klarna up until recently. Can you tell the audience exactly what Klarna is?
Absolutely. So Klarna is actually 15 years old. We were born in Sweden by three young Swedes who actually entered a... they basically pitched in a contest and sadly didn't rank anywhere. In fact, I think they came second last. And one particular investor came up to them and sort of said, you know, guys, I really like this concept. I think it just needs a bit of work. And Sebastian, who is the CEO and one of the founders still in the business today, basically led with, great, let's explore this further and here we are. So what's really interesting is the perception that, you know, the likes of our competitors in this market, have created so-called buy now, pay later. But the reality is for 15 years we've been doing this throughout Europe, UK, US, and now we're in Australia. So we're really, I guess, what you'd say that the pioneers, but we're fundamentally different because our app is built on the premise where consumers can actually shop anywhere. So we don't need to have merchants signed up. Obviously, we love merchants and part of our offering is to get merchants signed up. But right now, you can actually shop at any retailer across the Australian landscape with Klarna, even though they're not integrated. And the way that we've done that is in light of our technology stack, when you go onto the Klarna app, you can basically see deals which we are able to procure from every possible site in Australia. You can create wish lists. You can create price drop notifications. You can actually shop from content that we curate. And so what we really are is a one-stop shopping destination for consumers, as opposed to what our competitor set is, which is really a shopping directory that you then go from that tile to the respective retailer and then you start your journey there. We actually enable the consumer to look, browse, and actually decide what they want to buy. So when they land on that retailer's site, they're actually converting. And that's why retailers across the globe love us.
If you don't mind me jumping in, Lisa, sorry. If I'm on, for example, Kogan.com and I'm checking out and I've got three options. I've got Afterpay, Zip, and Klarna. Now, why would I choose Klarna over Afterpay and Zip?
Yeah, really good question. So fundamentally, what's that, sorry?
No. This is going to be a good one. So.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the reason that you would actually choose Klarna is because what we do is we create a deep relationship with our customers. So we're not transactional. So when you think about the way customers in this market use other payment types, it's a transaction, right? It's a means to pay for what you want. But the customers that we attract and the engagement that we see from customers is much more about that experience. And so the reality is that if you were on Kogan's site and you saw Klarna, that ultimately you would see us as your shopping partner. You wouldn't be looking at us and going, what's that, right? Mm. Of course, if you didn't know us, then you would wonder who we are. You'd hopefully click on the Klarna. It would come up with what our proposition is and who we are and you'd convert that way. But more generally speaking, around the world, what we've seen is this enormous sort of engagement of consumers. And even now in the Australian market, one thing that's really fascinating is looking at what people are doing in our app and the amount of time they're spending in our app. So typically across the world, what customers do is they might create a fashion collection or a shoe collection and effectively drop all of those, you know, items into their cart and apply a price notification so that, of course, if it went on sale, you were automatically notified in the app, which no one in the world and certainly in Australia can do today. But what we've seen is in Australia particularly, customers are being explicit. Like they're saying, right, here is my Kogan list. Here is my Zimmerman list. Here is my Kmart list, right? And they're actually creating very specific lists based on the brands that they love and they're engaged with. And what we're doing is learning more and more and more about those customers. So when we then have a direct integration with someone like Kogan, we already know that you, Nick, are mad about earphones and you're consistently looking at the latest and greatest earphones. And so we deliver you warmly to Kogan and we tell you that we've now got Kogan because it's relevant to you. And again, none of our competitors can do that. Our competitors don't know what our consumers, what their consumer shopping behaviors are, where they're shopping, how they're shopping, what their interests are. We actually start with learning about you as the consumer, which drives that engagement, which ultimately means if you saw the three of us on Kogan's site, you would likely pick us over anybody else because we've actually got a relationship with you. We're not a transaction.
And actually, I would say as a consumer who loves to shop, one thing that really stands out is it's, you're right, like I feel that it's very much tailored towards making a consumer's life easier. So things like being able to do returns through the apps, you know, even things like we were saying, like you don't actually need to be on Klarna or retail doesn't need to be on Klarna to actually use it. And for me, that's massive because I know sometimes if I want to spend a bit of money and then I go to the site and I go, ugh, you guys don't do, you know, what one of your competitors, I don't want to spend all this money at once. I'm sort of less likely to spend. So it's great to hear that. And for me, I'd say as a shopper, that's massive that you can just use it anywhere. Because effectively, like you were saying, it's like, I think you were saying it's a bank. So it effectively is kind of just like a bank, but it's really organized because then you know that all your payments can just come out over X amount of time and you can effectively just keep track of all of your spending through this one app.
And that's exactly what it is. You know, when we have the merchants integrated, not only do you see the individual items that you've purchased in those baskets, you can actually say, I'd like to return this item, and you're notifying us that you're actually returning that item to that retailer. It's really nice and seamless. And some of the exciting stuff that you'll be seeing coming down the track is enabling our consumers to actually see where their items are. So you've got an end-to-end visibility of your whole shopping journey all in one place. So you can see your purchases, you can see the actual items within those baskets, you can see how many installments you've paid, you can pay in advance, you know, you can snooze, you can also go and be redirected straight back to that particular brand. So what we do is we actually enable in our purchase experience the ability to re-promote the brand that you're actually buying from. So that if they want to see your Insta feed, if you're, you know, Nike or you know, whoever you might be, you can actually even integrate the Insta feed into the purchase page so that you can be reconnected to that brand and drive you to re-engage. So everything is really around customer obsession, making the shopping experience more seamless and driving engagement.
Fran, you've been in the buy now, pay later industry for a few years now. Obviously, you previously worked for Zip. So over the past few months, I've been watching the stock market like many other Australians, and I've seen Afterpay go from $8 to $50, Zip go from $2 to $6, OpenPay has doubled in the past couple of weeks. What's the reason these stocks are going absolutely crazy right now, and do you think it's justified? It's a hard question, yeah, Fran. Ready for this one?
Yeah, it is a hard question. I think the reason that we're seeing, you know, the share prices go up, there's a couple of aspects. One is, you know, the Australian market is very mature now when it comes to buy now, pay later. You know, we've been around, buy now, pay later has been in this market for over 7 years. The number of consumers that are adopting or using buy now, pay later is growing, you know, by the day in the tens of thousands.
Yep.
You know, I think the last stat that ABS released was, and this was late last year, was I think 10% of, only 10% of Australians have actually done a buy now, pay later transaction. But of course, a much more considered amount of people have done an online transaction. I think what we've seen is that through COVID, a whole new audience is now shopping online, right? So my mum is an example who wouldn't touch, you know, the internet because dad makes her scared. Guess what? She's got no option because she has to shop online. So I think the reason we're seeing sort of an increase in that curve is because there's a bigger realization that buy now, pay later isn't going anywhere. It is the new way to pay. It is the payment method of the future because it gives consumers flexibility, transparency, and the ability to actually control their spending. And so I think if you look at the, you know, the impacts that the pandemic has had globally, people are only we're only at the cusp of what is about to be seen. You know, I think Australia is going to get hit even harder. There'll definitely be signs of recessional behavior. And so people being able to manage their cash flow and make their cash flow work harder for them becomes more and more important, because, you know, I think it's in all financial providers' interest to ensure that we are doing the right thing by consumers. And we hope that we are leading the way in that field, particularly with our experience globally. You know, as I mentioned, we're a bank in Sweden, but we're fully regulated in many other markets. In the US, I'm not sure if you're aware, but every state has its own requirements and own, you know, regulatory infrastructure. And we are, you know, monitoring and participating in all of that. So we're really hoping that our maturity and our level of experience and our input into global payments is going to carry us forward in this market and really do, enable us to support consumers.
But that leads to my next question. And I get very, very nervous when I hear buy now, pay later. Because millennials obviously racking up debt. And how are they going to service that debt in 6 months' time? Like, there has to be an end to this. And how does it end? Does it end with a bad credit rating? Who ends up taking over that debt? Like, to me, it's a compounding issue. And in the end, someone has to lose. And who is that person?
Yeah, so I think I don't actually think someone does have to lose if you've got the right checks and balances in place. And that's exactly what we do globally. You know, as I said, if we were not responsible lenders, then I could see how someone like you has that perception. But the reality is that we actually pride ourselves on the number of declines, because we know that we're declining someone because we do not want to put them in a worse off position. So certainly as a provider in this space, we can't make somebody fall into the trap that you're referring to. Of course, I can't speak for other providers. You'd need to have that conversation with them. But what I can tell you with full confidence is it was non-negotiable for us to really promote and to really ensure that it is clear to customers that we won't lend irresponsibly, and it is in our interest to protect you.
Yeah, okay. That's great. That's great. Because I said a few years ago, I said, I don't know how this system will work long-term, but it's still around and still booming. So it's definitely beaten me.
You know what you need to do, Nick? You need to actually get on board and get involved, because
buy now, pay later. Okay.
Nick doesn't need to pay later. He's not struggling like I am.
That's the whole thing. No, but that's the whole thing, Lisa. It's actually not for people that need to pay later. I can tell you wholeheartedly from data I've seen over the last, you know, nearly 3 years, some of the wealthiest people in the country are using buy now, pay later. It's convenience. It's because they have a relationship. And it's because they want to buy purchases from their partners.
That is just tight. Like, this get off. I'm going to say that $20 for another month.
Excuse me. You're like one of the tightest people I know.
Are you kidding me?
No. Nick, all I'm going to say is, if you had a shoe fetish and you wanted to buy shoes each and every week and you don't want your partner to know, let me tell you, there are thousands and thousands of purchases being made on buy now, pay later, because they don't want their partners to know what they're spending. They don't want to be asked, oh my goodness, did you really need another pair of shoes?
Oh my God. I wish Nick had a shoe fetish, then he'd actually dress better, but he doesn't have any money on his clothes. But I do think it's quite interesting, because as a consumer, and I've been an avid long time online shopper, to be honest with you, I just expect that there be sort of buy now, pay later functionality on any retailer, to be honest with you. And I think it encourages more sales. So I really do feel like it's not going anywhere. And in fact, I think it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And maybe even as well to bigger things.
Is it? That's the whole lay-by system. Didn't die out in the 90s?
Yeah, because
it's a lay-by.
Yeah, but you don't get the item until the end of the lay-by. That's the annoying thing.
Yeah, but I think there's going to be so much bad debt with this. I think it's going to compound and someone's going to take the debt.
It actually limits you. So it's not like I can just keep spending and spending and spending. It goes, okay, based on your financial situation, you'll then correct. Get a cap of, so it's, you know, X amount of limit, which is annoying for me because I'm like, I could spend forever. But it does, I feel like I'm an ambassador for Klarna at the moment. But
I know, I think we're going to have to get you on board, Lisa. You got yourself a new gig.
Exactly. Yeah. Nick doesn't pay me anyway, so I'm in the market for a new job. But I can say definitely as a consumer, it encourages me to spend more, still sensibly. It actually encourages me to spend more sensibly because I know that there's just, it's automatically taking the money out. Whereas if I've got to manage my own finances, like pay off my credit card, do all that sort of stuff, I can't do that because I'm a mess. So this just keeps my spending under control. So I personally love it. Now, you actually touched on how spending habits have changed during Corona, which, you know, we're obviously in the digital marketing game, we're seeing significant increase in the amount of people shopping online. And like you said, for the first time users, like that's been, you know, quite interesting for us because you would have thought there'd be less spending during, you know, obviously what's a challenging time. But I actually feel like Klarna and, you know, and similar sort of apps are going to help the economy get back, you know, on track because people will still feel okay to spend. So what do you predict in terms of what's going to happen with the shopping habits of Australians?
Yeah, look, I definitely think we're going to see a further increase in online spend. You know, I think right now, because everybody's been locked up at home and they're allowed out, there's far too many people in shopping centres. In fact, somebody mentioned to me that in the city in Sydney on the weekend, they've not seen so many people in the city at any one time as they had on the weekend. But I think that's just the nature of, oh, we've all been, you know, so constrained, let's get out. But I think that you know, online shopping particularly is increasing. I think what you're seeing is a number of brands doing really smart things, turning their stores into e-com fulfillment centres, you know, recognising that the foot traffic, you know, has changed and the nature of all the role that stores will play is fundamentally changing. And so there's lots of really clever, savvy retailers that are not sitting there going, oh my goodness, we've got this space, what are we going to do? They're actually pivoting and turning those stores into you know, showrooms, so to speak, and service centres to allow people to pick up. So click and collect is increasing because people don't want to spend time in stores. Obviously, online is increasing substantially, which is great to see. I think the key really is around, at the moment, you know, fashion and sort of footwear are fairly flat. Other categories like, you know, home improvements or stationery and things like that obviously boomed, and electronics boomed through the pandemic because people needed to set themselves up at home and people couldn't go anywhere. So we were investing in our homes and redoing gardens and whatever else people might have done. So I think that will probably normalize a little bit, and we'll start seeing, you know, people going back to supporting fashion and investing in fashion. But I think, again, if you look at fashion retailers, the shopper is now shopping very differently because all of us are at home. You know, we've got the joke in the office that you always look great from here down, but guess what? I'm sitting here in my slippers, you know, and I'm not unlike anybody else, you know. It's a bit like the newsreader analogy where, you know, they're typically sitting in a pair of shorts or who knows what, and it's just that the top half that's dressed. So I think what we're going to see is also a shift in the products that are made available, and the products that perhaps weren't cool before are now going to be the cool products and drive sales for things like slippers. Because guess what? We're at home and we couldn't be bothered putting on our shoes. So that's sort of where I think things are going to go. Retailers are going to shift to, you know, I guess respond to what consumers want. Of course, if they use their stores, it means they're closer to customers. It means customers get a far better experience in terms of delivery and receipt and getting what they want, you know, quicker. And I think consumers will start embracing, you know, the internet a lot more. And as I say, probably doing higher amounts of click and collect rather than, you know, sort of just aimlessly wandering around stores and doing your, you know, your showrooming and then buying. I think people will go into store with an intent to buy and convert because they've already done that homework online.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Last question for you, Fran. What's next for Klarna in Australia? What's the plan of attack to take on the Afterpays and the Zip?
We are going to take on the world, Nick. The reality is Klarna is number one pretty much in every market that it's in. It is an incredible company.
In America?
I'm really proud of being part of. What we're going to do in Australia is we absolutely have big ambitions, and those ambitions are to show Australians that we are their best choice for shopping and that we're a lot more than a payment method. We really want to encourage and educate Australians on how to get immersed in learning but being very savvy with their financial wellness. It is really important, you know, not only to me personally but to our company to do the right thing by consumers. You know, we want to embrace and lead, even from a regulatory perspective, a lot of these conversations through our experience across the world. And we want to show merchants that or retailers that we can deliver a new audience and a more engaged audience and a different audience to help them through what is going to be a really tough time coming up. You know, I don't quite think retail will be the same again. I think that patterns in terms of spending patterns are changing. Buyer behaviour is changing. And so we really want to support our retail partners in, you know, having the right solutions and coming out the other side even stronger. And of course, from a consumer perspective, we want to protect consumers. We do not want people getting into debt. We want to be transparent. We want to make sure that if they shouldn't be spending, they aren't spending. And that's a commitment that we make to them.
Ooh, excellent. Can I ask you a question? I don't know if you can answer this. What's the last thing that you put on Klarna?
Oh, the last thing I actually put on Klarna was some jumpers from Tacuba.
Ah, good one. Good one.
One of my favorite brands. I bought some jumpers for my daughter and I from Tacuba.
Ah, good one. Yeah, I definitely don't need to be shopping, but I think I might go and check out the app after this call. Well, thank you so much for your time, Fran. It was fantastic to learn more about the app, and I know that I'm going to get Nick to explore it because he actually owns a digital transformation company, so you should be all over this tech.
I'm going to sign up for Klarna and bite the bullet and just do it.
Yeah, feel free to give me a Klarna.
I'm going to buy now and pay in a year's time.
No, Nick, you got it all wrong. Seriously, I honestly want you to, I would love you, seriously, we are a customer first company. I would love you to download it and then don't be shy to share your feedback. One of the things, like, we've already done so much consumer research since we started. So we know what customers like, we know what they don't like, we know what they want to see. Like, I would honestly, I
would really download it, I promise you. I will
get out and
buy something.
And give it a go. Give it a go, Nick. Come on.
No, I promise by Monday, I'll download and buy something.
Okay, I'll send you my wish list so you can buy something for me.
Yeah, buy myself a pair of shoes.
Yeah, do that. Well, thank you so much, Fran, and all the best.
Thanks,
we're excited to follow the Klarna journey.
Thanks for having me, and really look forward to staying in touch and hearing what you think and how we can do better.
Great, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.